The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode is brought to you in part by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of spoken word entertainment. Did you know you can get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today? And all you have to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/investor. And also sponsored by GoToMeeting.com. Well, hello and welcome. This is Andrew Horowitz, and this is the Disciplined Investor Podcast. And we are not going to get fooled again, are we? Because they have been shaking us out left and right, it seems. Trying to shake us out, at least. But us disciplined investors, we're not falling for this. We're not falling for these BS job numbers, which I put up a post this week on, talking about how the BLS has misrepresented and really, unfortunately, underreported the job situation by hundreds of thousands of people. In fact, if you look at the chart that we put up, you'll see that consistently over the last year, they've been 20, 30, and even 100% off on the unemployment numbers on a regular basis. And this last one should have been probably closer to a couple of hundred thousand more, which would have really put the unemployment rate closer to 7 right now, and it's expected to get a lot bigger. But we had a big week. We had a lot of information out, 1, 2, 3, 5, 7 bailouts, interest rate reductions, bailouts of various companies. And it's getting kind of hard to navigate the waters whether or not we're going to see an up or a down, dependent on the day. I think that if we didn't have the bailouts, maybe the only day we didn't see a really big bailout was Monday, where we had a 600-point drop in the markets. And that will teach them not to stand by, and we got to keep pouring the money in. I think we're up to $7.5 trillion right now. But nonetheless, we kind of moving forward. Strategy Lab up 13.5% as of now. And that's because we're using this edge strategy, where we're using the incredible volatility to move in and out of positions very easily. And we have a post up on that also. But I'm also talked to the gang over at Microsoft, and we're going to put up a kind of a calculator to figure out how to actually implement this, because it's not tough. Really, it's not very difficult at all. In fact, we're looking really for the outliers when we're looking from a charting standpoint. We're looking for the outliers. And maybe a little bit more aggressive than some people want to be, but nonetheless, it does give you a great opportunity to put in some limits and stops in order to get the vacillating and the volatility that is rolling up and down like a roller coaster these days. But as we hear, we won't get fooled again. One of my favorite songs by The Who, because really a lot of the things that have been going on, whether it's in the mainstream market or in the pink sheets and the alternative markets, there's a lot of people really trying to scam us. So what I thought we'd do is bring an old friend of mine on that we haven't talked to in a while. His name is Tim Sykes, TimothySykes.com, and he is a penny stock trader. He swims around with the sharks, I guess, is the best way to describe it, and doing very well. He turned $18,000 of his bar mitzvah money way back when into, I don't know, almost $2 million, I think. It went all the way up. He kind of went down a substantial amount also. But he's trying to do it again, and he's been very successful so far, I think up over a couple 100% in the last year or so. So we'll have him on as a guest, and I do want to talk to you about a couple of other things that you need to know about and how we're really navigating what's going on right now. So let's get into that. What's going to be very short today on this. I think I mentioned to you, hopefully you've been following along at home and particularly paying attention to the blog, because on the blog and intertwined in the podcast, we've been talking about some stocks that really may break out into the future. And the one that I really been, the sector that I've been really most focused on is a couple of ones that have really been beaten down, right? So first of all, oil. Can you believe the price of oil? I mean, shocking. Shocking when it was at 140, I never dreamed it was going to be down 100 points. I mean, we thought it would rest around 70, 60, but probably closer to 75 was the real number. I am shocked that it is down slow. I passed by a gas station, one of the most expensive in my neighborhood, and I couldn't believe it was $1.75 yesterday. Predictions are showing that it could go down even further. As a matter of fact, if you look at the futures in January, I think the gallon of gas in the future for January is down by a buck or possibly under. But let's realize something, that there is a massive, massive deleveraging going on by hedge funds and by the players in the various markets. This won't last, in my opinion. If you notice, even though we've seen a lot of volatility of late, the oil and gas sector, we use Dig and Dug as a proxy for that. We're actually going to be going into in our Disciplined Investor Managed Growth Strategy, oil as the commodity. That's the next thing we're really going into, because we can't really say for sure at this point that the oil and gas companies are going to benefit or not dependent on the price of oil. So what we're doing is we're looking at a couple different positions. We're looking at oil, OIL, and DBO. We're looking at those as two possibilities. And I think that the commodity area we like a lot, and I think that's been totally just smashed, trashed, and you know, put to bed. And the agricultures, nobody's going to stop eating. We like those. I think that's a good idea. I think that the oils and the energies, we like those as well. But I think the one thing that we do like the most, and we've liked it for a couple of months now, is the materials companies. Selectively, yes, but the materials companies. Caterpillars. I told you about ACM. I hope you bought that, little bugger. ACM, we picked up at about 17, and I think it's about 27 right now, or 26, 27. ACM, AECOM Technologies, is a big player in the infrastructure area, because they're the ones that are going to do a lot of the designing, particularly for some of the fresh water or the water filtration and treatment plants. What a great opportunity if you think about it. If, in fact, we were going to have a new deal, a new deal type of process to bring prosperity back to our country, if we're going to put a lot of people back to work, which we're going to talk about that in a minute, great opportunity to do so through the materials companies. They're the picks and shovels. Think about it, right? We want the companies that are going to provide for the infrastructure build-out or repairs. President-elect Obama talked about this week on his weekly radio address. Actually, let's see if we can pull that up. Maybe I'm going to pull that up. Hang on. I didn't even think about that before. Let me see if I can go grab that. Hang on.
Good morning. Yesterday, we received another painful reminder of the serious economic challenge our country is facing when we learned that 533,000 jobs were lost in November alone, the single worst month of job loss in over three decades. That puts the total number of jobs lost in this recession at nearly 2 million. But this isn't just about numbers. It's about each of the families those numbers represent.
Let me skip ahead to the area. He was talking about how he's going to solve some of this problem, how to get 2.5 million back. And I'll also tell you in a moment about some findings I had on the BLS study on the unemployment rate. I think you'd be pretty shocked about that in a second. Let me see if we could skip ahead to this.
Today, I'm announcing a few key parts of my plan. First, we will launch a massive effort to make public buildings more energy efficient. Our government now pays the highest energy bills in the world. We need to change that. We need to upgrade our federal buildings by replacing old heating systems and installing efficient light bulbs. That won't just save you, the American taxpayer, billions of dollars each year. It will put people back to work.
So let's just get that straight. We're going to get light bulbs for energy efficiency, and that's going to save a lot of money. So I guess we're going to have to look at GE or some of the other, like Philips or some other possible benefactors of that. And we're also going to work on our buildings and energy efficiency. So we're going to have to look at some of the insulation companies, obviously the various steel companies, and look at what other possible ways we can work on, retrofitting these particular buildings. Let's continue on.
Second, we will create millions of jobs by making the single largest new investment in our national infrastructure since the creation of the federal highway system in the 1950s. We'll invest your precious tax dollars in new and smarter ways, and we'll set a simple rule: use it or lose it. If a state doesn't act quickly to invest in roads and bridges in their communities, they'll lose the money.
So basically what he's saying here is that states, you're on notice. You are hurting because you have lower tax revenues, lower tax base right now. And we're seeing a lot of states have some real difficult times floating bonds because the ratings have been dropped. You are having an opportunity now to expand and to create an employment base because the federal government is coming with a lot of money. So the problem I have with this, only one thing really, well, off the top of my head right now, is this use it or lose it rule. I mean, a state has to act extremely quickly, which just leads to very bad decision making and wastefulness in terms of money, because now all of a sudden there's going to be this gigantic rush to have a plan in place to come to the government to ask them for money. So now there's going to be this almost a catch where if you don't come up with a plan, no matter what it is, you're not going to get it. So therefore, if you're not in the position to put on a planning board or some kind of an oversight board, the money can be recklessly spent. I hope there's a better plan than this. I really do hope there's a better plan than, you know, putting a gun to their head and having them to rush and make a plan so quickly.
Third, my economic recovery plan will launch the most sweeping effort to modernize and upgrade school buildings that this country has ever seen. We will repair broken schools, make them energy efficient, and put new computers in our classrooms. Because to help our children compete in a 21st century economy, we need to send them to 21st century schools.
Now, I don't mean to be too picky here, but is there any discussion about maybe helping out teachers and paying them the salaries that they deserve and giving the children a great education? Or is it all about getting them to feel really warm and cozy in their energy efficient school and giving them a computer so they can learn how to once again not have any kind of manufacturing or production or any kind of hands-on work skills in the United States? Isn't that the problem that we ran into before? I mean, this is just, you know, the problem is we need good education. It's not all about just the building. But perhaps maybe I'm being a little too picky. I'm being, you know, I'm looking too closely at this because I'm looking at it from a position of being very concerned with the amount of money that's been spent so far and wondering how far $500 to $700 billion is going to take us here. And I'm really looking for something a little bit more meaty involved here. And I realize they've only had a few weeks to get this together, but there's got to be some good plans out there right now. And I'm hoping we see a little bit more to gain some confidence in this plan.
As we renew our schools and highways, we'll also renew our information superhighway. It is unacceptable that the United States ranks 15th in the world in broadband adoption. Here in the country that invented the internet, every child should have the chance to get online. And they'll get that chance when I'm president, because that's how we'll strengthen America's competitiveness in the world.
So somehow the ability to be online to, I don't know, if kids have the ability to gather information, let's not even get funny and talk about being on Facebook or Twitter or MySpace, but to gather information and learn from there is going to help them create the future that they need. But I'm still stuck on the whole idea that potentially there's been a dislocation in the realization that we don't create anything here anymore. And just going on the internet is not going to help us with that problem.
In addition to connecting our libraries and schools to the internet, we must also ensure that our hospitals are connected to each other through the internet. And that is why the economic recovery plan I'm proposing will help modernize our healthcare system. And that won't just save jobs, it will save lives. We will make sure that every doctor's office and hospital in this country is using cutting-edge technology and electronic medical records so that we can cut red tape, prevent medical mistakes, and help save billions of dollars each year.
Please tell me this is not the big plan to nationalize medicine or to create some kind of a change in the health insurance problem that we have here in the U.S. I hope it's not all about the technology behind it, because that's three different components that we've just touched on that are all based on technology rather than building the core that seems to be a little bit upside down. We have to really, it seems to me, to get to the core of this whole thing. Now, on the other hand, it does bode well for companies that are involved in the infrastructure development when it comes to technology and internet. Maybe WiMAX is going to come back. Maybe we'll have some new fiber optics laid down, and potentially you could see the internet backbone really being enhanced. But at the same time, I think we have to realize that there's a fundamental problem that is much greater than just technology.
These are just a few parts of the economic recovery plan that I will be rolling out in the coming weeks. When Congress reconvenes in January, I look forward to working with them to pass a plan immediately. We need to act with the urgency this moment demands to save or create at least 2.5 million jobs so that the nearly 2 million Americans who've lost them know that they have a future. And that's exactly what I intend to do as President of the United States. Thanks for listening.
Well, again, not trying to be the spoiler of the party here, but unfortunately we have over 2.5 million jobs that have been, you know, possibly created. I don't know where this number keeps coming from, but we're on track to be losing 500,000 per month. And by the time he becomes the inauguration happens, we're talking about another million or so to be, you know, potentially gone. And if you track the BLS studies and the revisions, not the ones, I mean, just now we talked about there was 533,000 jobs that were lost last month. We're projecting more like 750. And I think that one of the things that needs to be done is if we're going to have an economic recovery, we need to have some economic transparency, some economic truthfulness, and some economic accountability, because the government bodies that are currently tracking much of the things that we are seeing on a continual basis have done an awful job at providing us accurate information. And that's probably one of the things that we need to gussy up a little bit and put on the chopping block and on the table, where we're going to think through what can really be done, because getting information that is inaccurate passed all around is not helping anyone out one little bit. But I'll reserve my comments till I hear a little bit more, or maybe I won't reserve my comments, but I won't comment any more now until I hear more, because that really doesn't give me any significant confidence more than I've seen right now. I'm still wondering about this 2.5 million situation. And by the way, if you have a desire to see just how far off the Bureau of Labor Statistics is, go to the website, thedisciplinedinvestor.com, and check out the study that we put up on the revisions. I think you'll be pretty surprised. Well, with that, I think that we have to look into materials companies that we talked about before, because there is that money going into those and into the ability to really revamp some of the decaying bridges, tunnels, schools, buildings, and various other highways and transportation services that we have. That's obviously something that we should take advantage of. So keep on the lookout. We're going to post a lot of that in the next week or so, when we kind of get through the best stocks to move forward in that environment. But right now, let's take a break. When we get back, we'll talk to Timothy Sykes, talking about penny stocks, and maybe some way that we can prevent ourselves from being scammed and maybe make some money and find out who's making money on this and if there's anything that can benefit any of us. We'll be right back. Hang on the Disciplined Investor Podcast. There used to be only two ways to meet for business, over the phone or in person. Now there's a better way. Use GoToMeeting to meet online. With GoToMeeting, everyone sees your computer desktop on their computer screen, so you get the best of both worlds. It's like meeting in person, but without wasting time and money traveling. And your conference calls will be more effective. The best part is that you can actually try it for free. That's right, GoToMeeting is free right now for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/podcasts. That's gotomeeting.com/podcasts for a free trial. Welcome back. This is Andrew Horowitz on the Disciplined Investor Podcast, and we're going to crank it up a bit this week, as I told you, because we have my good friend Tim Sykes on board. And if you know Tim, you know that he doesn't hold back and he doesn't mince words, and he is just all about teaching you how to make money and making money for himself. So, Mr. Sykes, how are you, my friend?
Awesome. Shana Tova. How's it going?
Oh, thank you so much, Rabbi. let me ask you. So, you and I talk, and every time I, say, hey, Tim, what's going on? You say, oh, it's great. And that doesn't matter if the market's up, the market's down, sideways, because I don't think you really care. You're like me. It's like, as long as the market's open, you're happy. Doesn't matter if it's up or down, right?
I need volatility. I'm a trader. I deal with low price stocks, whether they're way up or way down. It doesn't matter as long as they're moving. And that's the advantage of trading.
So you, just to give a little bit of background here. So if you don't know Tim, TimSykes.com, TimothySykes.com. TimothySykes.com. And what Tim does is he goes after some unique circumstances and some aberrations in the market for penny stocks. And basically, in a nutshell, we'll short them or buy them and make a bunch of money. He took $18,000, turned it into $2 million, had a hedge fund, went up, went down, and now he's all at it all over again, sticking his neck out to try to do it all over again. So here's the question I have. So assume that, I'm interested in trading penny stocks for whatever reason that is, and how do you get your ideas? I mean, where do you find these? There's so many of them. Where do you find the ideas, and what is like the mark of a good stock that Tim Sykes is going to trade?
Yeah, I mean, I ignore most of the low price stocks and penny stocks. They're just utter crap. You can't believe a word that the CEOs say. Their products, they basically have one product. They're nearly all failing. They're trying to raise money. So it's pretty much the gutter of the stock market. The only reason why I would ever trade one of these things is if it's up 50, 100, 200, 300% within a few days for whatever reason, whether a newsletter mentions them, an analyst mentions them, they come out with a whole bunch of spam newsletters. There's lots of different ways to manipulate and to hype these stocks up. Solar was very hot for a while. Oil was very hot. So there are different trends, but it's such speculative froth, and I'm just looking to short into that speculation.
So does any of the so to get back to this, is any of the I guess what you do like the best is the when the PR groups and they're really promoting these, the promoters are promoting a stock. You and I looked at a stock a while ago, and it was, I don't know, let's say it was a buck for a long time, and all of a sudden the promoter got their hands on it and went to like $3 and $4 within days of them sending out faxes and emails and all sorts of news announcements, and that was like the perfect setup because you knew it was going to ride for a little while and then just collapse, right?
Correct. That was PSTI, Pluristem Therapeutics.
Oh, you remember
the company
that.
Doesn't even matter. All that matters is the ticker symbol, because their main product is not an actual product. Their product is the stock. That's why they put money into pumping the stock higher when they should be putting money into keeping the company alive. Right now, the stock is down to 43 cents. It's a $4 million company. And we're talking just a few months ago, this stock was a $4 stock. It's dropped 90%, literally.
I think that stock, if I may also say, I think there was also in between all that, aside from the fact it dropped as it did, there was also a reverse split somewhere in there.
Exactly. So it's even worse.
So it's even uglier, yeah.
Companies do reverse right. splits because they're about to get delisted from the NASDAQ. I mean, I'm literally trading just utter crap. But I'm not talking about stocks trading. You know, when I say penny stocks, most people think, oh, you know, stocks trading at 5 cents, 10 cents. I'm really doing stocks between $1 and $10, just low-priced stocks. And they're surprisingly liquid when they're hyped up. They trade hundreds of thousands or millions of shares. So I think it's really ideal for small traders and small investors, especially beginners. Which obviously goes against the grain of most people say you hear the word penny stock and you have to stay away from it. I say that there's opportunity down here.
Let's both admit that let's both take the system. You take the right hand of the system. I'll take the left hand of the system. Let's walk it off to the edge of the cliff and throw it over, okay?
Okay. I would love that. No, the system is doing that itself already.
Yep.
I mean, we see Goldman Sachs with their arrogance and their pedigree, and look where it's getting people. Warren Buffett even got sucked in. He was dying to invest in such a great company, and now he's down, what, 40, 50% on his buy.
Yeah, well, let's not even talk about all the stuff that's gone on with the respected Mr. Buffett, and I have all the respect for him in the world. But the truth is that you're right. He did get sucked in, and having a derivatives in his portfolio, which he never said he would ever hold, or he said he'd never hold. But let's just get back to, you know, who is this for, who is this not. Okay, so let's just say there's an aggressive investor that wants to take up, I don't know, $5,000, $10,000, whatever it is. So I'm assuming that because there is this spike from time to time in a particular stock, that there's going to be that liquidity. But after that, there's probably no liquidity at all, right?
Correct. So I'm kind of like a sniper. I'm always watching every single day. I have Tim Alerts, which is a real-time trading alert service,
right.
But I put out a daily watch list of potential plays. Most of the time, I'm not firing because, you know, there's maybe someone in the way, just like a sniper. Aim small, miss small. So I'm just looking for these individual opportunities, and over time, they add up. Last November, I started with 12,000. I restarted. I went back to my bar mitzvah roots, and now that 12,000 is up to 40,000. While, you know, if you're in an S&P mutual fund, that 12,000 would be around 7,000. So it's,
yeah,
it's a very abstract strategy, but for small investors, it works.
So why well, first of all, let's also agree that you have to keep this under the wire, you know, under the radar. If you start getting too big, for example, let's take the same stock and let's talk about exactly what you talked about. If you go and you start with, let's just say, $1 million and you invest in that company, the reality is that's probably not going to work because you're going to move the stock yourself. You want to get in on the wave. You want to just catch the wave and ride it. You don't want to make the wave, right?
Correct. And there's multiple angles. A lot of people think that, you know, what happens when you get too big, you're all trying to short the same exact stock. You should also buy these stocks into the hype and the manipulation. It's tough. I've seen too much stuff. I can't buy them ever. But, you know, it's much easier to buy. Trying to find shares to short of these companies is not an easy task. So there are multiple angles, which is why I have my whole DVD Penny Stocking, which teaches all these separate angles. But again, you do have to realize the lack of scalability. A lot of people have said, Tim, why are you doing this? You know, you're talented, you're a smart guy. Why don't you go try and invest in Research in Motion? I just don't think that you have as good odds up in the real stock market because I don't know who to trust. There's so many people playing it. You're competing against hedge funds, much smarter than you, much more leveraged than you. I like it down here. This is my small little pond. And most of the people, the vast majority of people playing penny stocks are just mental midgets. I mean, if you have any intelligence at all whatsoever, you have an edge.
Okay, so now that we just insulted half the world,
let's say three quarters of the world if we're talking the finance world.
The system, back to that, has always taught us that the penny stocks are a bad word. You know, options are a bad. I can give you that list. You know, options are a bad word. Penny stocks are a bad word. When you look at the idea of a margin and shorting, these are all bad things that nobody's supposed to do. But meanwhile, these actually, if you look at them, and I'm not suggesting that, you know, anybody go out there and just, you know, start throwing their money into penny stocks. But if you look at these are the kind of things whereas that we've been told that you can get hurt by trading and doing this. The fact of the matter is, how bad, you know, with a penny stock with illiquidity, obviously you can get hurt, right? You can get stuck. Have you been stuck in something before?
I have been stuck. That is why my hedge fund, I ignored my rules of sticking to liquid stocks. I went in an illiquid stock. I actually believed the company. I didn't just get this cynical overnight, and my hedge fund lost 35% over 2 years. Now that I have learned that lesson, I say always cut your losses quickly, always stick to liquid stocks, and you know that's what you have to do. You have to have rules going into these trades. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to short a random penny stock because it's a fraud. No, you have to have certain rules going in. You have to be meticulous, but on the same token, that doesn't mean that it's a bad strategy. And forget about what you've heard. You've heard a lot of marketing from a lot of mutual funds and a lot of brokerage companies. What is it, Oppenheimer, the right way to invest? Mm-hmm. Is it the right way to invest when you're down 40 or 50%? Come on. Mm-hmm. There's so much marketing BS in this industry. I don't even know where to begin.
Well, I'd like everybody to get a picture of what we're talking about here. So give me a classic, give me a classic stock that we could kind of put a chart up of that over time has had these kind of weird ups and downs.
Okay, let's go with one of the best ones because this one was actually easy to borrow. It's completely liquid, and it's actually traded on the New York Stock Exchange. So the symbol is SIL, Apex Silver Mines Limited.
SIL, wait, let me get there. SIL, I want to look at this at the same time. Okay, Apex, yeah, this is, you can see just from the look of it that it's obviously not a liquid, you know,
This looks like a Donald Trump stock chart. I mean, it's pathetic, and the reason why you have this one super spike in September, and this is the kind of spike that I'm looking at. You know, most of the year, it doesn't really matter. Yes, it's a good long-term short, but I'm horrible at long-term shorts. I take it one opportunity at a time. When it was pumped up in September, this company is a Bolivian silver miner, and there were rumors that they were going to have some kind of special deal with the Bolivian government. Okay, for me, I just don't trust South American governments. I don't trust South American companies, and I especially don't trust these developmental companies that are claiming to have so much gold and silver, and when their stock chart looks like it's the exact opposite. So you can see the volume in September jumped to nearly 10 million, actually over 10 million shares a day in that 1 week. And the stock went from 1 to 4 based on these rumors.
Yeah, there was some other news I saw that came out. There was an analyst report for Newmont Mining Corporation and for Arch Coal. And there's a whole bunch of things they probably it's from MarketWire. Don't you know? You know, that's the other thing, right? So there was something
about cannot trust the news. Some of the news wires are corrupt.
This is talking about this news item. It was from London on MarketWire. You could look at Maybach Financial. You know who they are, Maybach Financial?
Nope.
I don't know who is pushing this story. What I found is that, you know, you just look at, kind of do a little research and find out where this is coming from. But it says that, I guess there was partnerships that were going to come out, and that was the exciting thing. That's what they do. They put it all together, right? They put a news item out. They put a little bit of maybe a fax. Have you seen this where you get a random fax that looks like it should be meant for somebody else? And says, hey, don't tell anybody about this, Bob, but this is going to be great. We're going to start buying this tomorrow get rid of this paper. Have you seen that?
They did that for a long time. Actually, there was somebody got busted for leaving voicemails and saying, hey, you know, leaving the whole voicemail.
Oh, I love it.
You feel so lucky that you have like this voicemail with this great stock tip. Again, it's very tough to short these stocks. So actually on SIL, yes, I made a lot of money shorting it. I shorted it pretty much near the top at 4, at 396, I think, and I covered around 320. So I was in and out very quickly within a week, within actually 2 days. But you can also buy these things into the hype if you have balls, if you have guts, if you can sleep well at night owning a probable fraud.
But the problem with that is obviously the difference is that with these, the chance of it halting and then going down is much greater than it really going up over time.
Yeah. I mean, it's, if there is news, usually it's negative news because these companies jump on rumors, they jump on spam, the message boards get crazy. You have to remember, the reason why these stocks get in play is because they're traders. You know, traders are looking for momentum. They'll trade anything. They'll trade GM, they'll trade Ford. It doesn't matter as long as there's volume and volatility.
So the same, this stock was actually at 25 back in 2002 and just been kind of slowly but surely dying off. It's about 60 cents or so now. So where is there a list besides, we'll get to your site for a second, so I want to explore that in a minute. But is there a list of places you can recommend? Where does people find like these kind of spikes? Is there a particular technical term that you look for? Like you know, we found one on FinViz for you yesterday. I sent you a bunch of them that were unusual volume movers, unusual price movement. They have a screen for that. Do you use those kind of things?
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple websites where you just, I mean, it's pretty simple. You just look for the biggest percent gainers in the market. Ignore all the stuff that's under a dollar. Ignore all the stuff that isn't trading at least 100 or 200,000 shares a day. Some of these stocks actually do go up based on fundamentals. You know, sometimes a company will report good earnings or they'll have a turnaround. But a lot of the time when it's based on rumors, when it's based on spam, when it's based on message board chatter, you know, it's not rocket science here. So I use Yahoo Finance, biggest percent gainers. I use ClearStation, which has bulk charting. I use StockCharts.com, StockFetcher.com. I explain all of this in my DVD so that people can actually do this. Mm-hmm. Or if they're too lazy, they can just pay me $30 a month and I do this every night anyways.
Oh, the lazy way to make money. I like that. But you know, that's interesting because just to tag on that, we talk about this whole idea of the lazy portfolio, you know, lazy way to make money. And so for so long, I remember there was a couple of guys, as a matter of fact, that did podcasts. They had these lazy portfolios. And I'm thinking to myself the whole time, why would somebody even talk about that they were, you know, investing in a quote-unquote lazy portfolio? What I mean by that is, you know, something that you don't have to look at and watch. I mean, I think that's what got us into this mess to begin. Well, one of the things, you know, that people were expecting that times would just be always okay. You don't have to watch your portfolio. And frankly, it was almost like, you know, thinking about very simply baking a cake and it was going to somehow magically come out of the oven itself one day. And if you don't watch it, it's never going to burn. That's not the case.
Yeah, no, that's what a lot of people want. And, you know, what I found is, I trust me, when I lost 35%, I was trying to give into that lazy because laziness is a lot more scalable. You know, you can put in millions or billions and you can leverage that up if you really want to. I've never really used leverage, but some people do it. So laziness rules Wall Street and now we're paying the price. If you are a hard worker, if you put in hours every single day, you do the research that people don't want to do, you read the SEC filings, you try and connect the dots, you don't always have to be right, but just your hard work and your discipline. That's what successful investing and successful trading comes all about. You know, that's why you call yourself the disciplined investor. That's why you're doing well, mm-hmm. because you're disciplined, you're hardworking. We neither of us have lives. I know this, okay? I mean, we spend our time dealing with this market.
Don't tell anybody.
It's not something to be embarrassed about because we are passionate. This is why we are succeeding when others are failing.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's everything's sort of, the world is upside down right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a screen from, I think there's a really cool site that people can take a look at this. So we'll put the maybe an overbought and a unusual volume screen, and we could show the various charts of those stocks. And I think I'll pass them by you to make sure these are ones that you think are the right ones and people can take a look at to see just a visual of, you know, what it looks like, these particular patterns. So let's talk about Tim Alerts. You got a lot of things, Tim, all over your website. Great website, by the way.
Thank you.
Just some fun things on there, some obnoxious things. I've told you that before, but that's the fun of it. It's kind of
many times.
But it kind of smacks the business as usual right in the face, don't you think?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to get people interested in finance. I'm trying to get them interested in the stock market. Right now, people hear the word stock market, real estate, they don't even want to think about it. They just want to hide from their problems. So I need to try and make it a little fun. I have to get in people's faces. I don't really mind if, you know, some people get annoyed. It's all a part of this. I'm going to speak my mind. My blog is kind of my therapy. You know, I do this all the time. So I need to express myself a little bit. And obviously, I go over the top a little bit, but learning from Cramer Marketing 101, you know, you do need to get over the top to get to some people. And especially these value investors, they've been so boring for so long. They've given finance such a bad rap, and yet they've ruled mainstream media because, again, they're lazy. Okay, just buy the stock as it's becoming a good value. And this year they are getting wrecked. All of them, every single value investor that says, just keep buying. They don't understand the consequences of leverage. They don't understand the consequences of all these derivatives because they're value people. They're thinking in terms of solid assets. And so I really have an axe to grind with a lot of people in this industry, and I'm going to do my best to make it known to them.
So you know, one thing, not recently, it's really been a long time, but, you know, I keep on hearing from the later night CNBC, you know, I come home, I have some dinner, hang out, maybe, you know, flip through a few channels here and there before I go back to work on through the evening. I've noticed that there's a continuation of the, well, will you say Susie Orman or that type that keeps on talking about it's a great time to buy. I mean, this goes back months. Well, not to mention months, years, but I'm talking about right now, really. I'm wondering what your take is on this whole idea of, number one, always talking about the silver lining. Have you heard about this lately? They keep on talking about, like, oh, the silver lining in this report. I'm like, what silver lining is that? You know, it could have been worse. And then on top of that, the idea that they keep talking about how things are cheap and it may be a great time to buy. And then we see, you know, tremendous downside because we know that the numbers, I mean, I look at the bigger picture. But what's your take on this whole idea that why are they doing this?
It's classic Wall Street bait and switch. You always need something to buy. There's always an asset that's better out there. If you're in gold, get out of gold. Let's get into Russia. Russia's down 90%. Gold's only down 30%. You know, it keeps the commissions flowing. It keeps brokerages happy. It keeps advertisers happy. You always need to talk about Sirius Satellite Radio to get the hits up because people love talking about Sirius Satellite Radio because they can't understand why the stock has gone straight down because it's such a wonderful service. You know, these are just classic BS games that are played time and time again, and eventually it'll get old. You know, once enough people have lost enough money, they'll stop watching Cramer, they'll stop watching Susie Orman, but there'll be new gurus. You know, this is why I think that there's an opportunity for those of us who are actual traders and we don't make our money necessarily on just BS and talking. We actually show our trades. We actually have the performance to back up with what we say, and we right. don't just throw out random buys and random sells because we understand the value of money. We understand that, yes, commissions may be cheap, but there's not always something to buy. There's not always something to trade. Jesse Livermore, Reminiscences of a Stock Operator, greatest book ever for finance, even though he shot himself and, you know, died broke. That was partly because he used leverage and he wasn't disciplined. But one of the things that he says that's most important is saying what made him the most money is the waiting. It's not the trading. So if you're patient, you know, maybe I should start a website called The Patient Trader. That's what my
I think people would really buy into hearing you as the patient trader.
It wouldn't work exactly, but I'm trading. You know, I'm up 200% in the last year, but I'm only trading literally 5 to 10 times a month. I'm not trading in and out every single second because that's A, unhealthy. B, I haven't really found success in that. And C, you know, it's not really something I can pass on. I can pass on watching stocks, being prepared at all times, but not trading them unless all the variables are aligned.
Right.
Cramer has like freaking 50 stocks every single day. Buy this, sell this, buy this, sell this. And you can't even get a grip on his track record. He's not on Covestor. Get everyone on Covestor. Covestor is the website, covestor.com. I'm number one on it out of 18,000 traders. I've got a dozen of my people in the top 20 because they tap into your brokerage account and verify all your trades. All these other fantasy stock exchanges, I don't care who's number one because they're fantasy. You can easily make up fake trades. Okay, this one is verified. You got the track record. Listen to people with a track record. Ignore everybody else.
Well, of course, I agree with you on a lot of that, but, you know, just to kind of nudge you on this, I mean, the MSN Strategy Lab, different situations, only a select number. Obviously, everything's verified by them. I mean, we have no access to that, but.
Hey, if it's verified by them, that's even better because MSN is much more powerful than Covestor. At least it's verified. I know you're doing well on that, but it's just much better than some fantasy league where, you know, Cramer, I mean, I've seen videos where he like changes his ratings after the fact. You know, what's that guy? Don Harold, who keeps attacking Cramer. I don't even know.
He's hysterical, Don, isn't he?
I don't know who he is, but you know, I think I might have talked to him once, and I thought that he was like trying to sell me something. But he goes on rampages against Kramer, and some of them are well deserved. I think Kramer is good because he's brought entertainment to the industry, but I think he's horrible because so many people are, you know, going so many different angles, and they're buying stocks based on the most simplistic arguments. Right. They don't factor in lag times. They don't factor in, you know, you might have the best company in the world, but if a hedge fund like Citadel is blowing up and they have to liquidate their position, the stock is going to go down. Yep. How do you predict that? Yep. You don't know what Citadel is in until when Bloomberg reports it.
Right. Well, here's what's interesting. So you really struck a chord there. When you talk about transparency, you know, Covestor, I'll put a link of that as well on the site. You are number one. You have some ridiculous annualized percent return, which is really, is that true? Is that right?
Covestor, the one issue that I have with them is that they ignore your cash, because what they want to do is they want to have people auto trade based off your trades. So they ignore the cash. So even though I'm only taking one or two positions at a time using 10, 20, maybe 30% of my assets, since I'm only taking one position, they're thinking I'm going all in because they're ignoring my cash. That's what my return would look like if I did go all in. And judging by my 3,000% annual return, maybe I should, except I can't promote that because, you know, I know most traders are bad. 90% of traders lose money. I'm not even that great a trader, so I'll never promote telling people going all in or using leverage. I'm always going to try and say conservative.
Have you ever been able to figure out what it is stripped out of cash? Let me say this. That is your return on your invested money, not on the cash, right?
Correct.
So why is that incorrect?
You know, I mean, my account has gone from 12,000 to 40,000, not 12,000 to 40 million.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. But it's investment. No, I understand that.
It doesn't matter. The point that I'm not trying to, you know, break all these records. I don't set goals. All I'm trying to do is show, look, this is a niche strategy that can be profitable. I have DVD students who are profiting too in this market misery. Even if they're not profiting, they're taking their losses very quickly. So right. It's very tough to lose if you're willing to be open. You know, I was a philosophy major, and philosophy is all about willing to admit that you're wrong. And I'm wrong a lot, but I take my losses quickly.
Yeah. So Tim Sykes, again, TimothySykes.com. One of the things that really has been very, very interesting to me is the idea of transparency, because that's something, and that's actually some of what you trade off of. You trade off of the lack of transparency in a way. And what's interesting, I find, is you said that, you know, people really need to find out what's going on. I find it fascinating two things. Number one, mutual funds. If you look at a mutual fund report that shows their current holdings, they could be anywhere from 3 to 6 months old, because they're only required to put it in every so often and not update it. So if I said to you, Tim, and I manage your money, hey, do you want to see your portfolio, what it looks like? And you say, sure, yeah, I do. And I say, you know, but it's going to be 3 months old. You're going to look at me like I have three heads. That's first of all. Second of all, and I don't want to get on a rant on the mutual funds, which I think is a washed up business. And we have shorted three of the mutual fund companies. And I'll put that on the site if you want to take a look at which ones we are shorting.
Are you shorting LM?
Yes, we have. Yeah. This is the second time. We're in and out of it twice already. We shorted first at 19. I think we bought it back at about 14 and change. Nice. I tell you. And then we also just shorted a couple of days ago with T. Rowe Price. But I'll tell you the other one. You have to go to the site to find the other one. I want you to take a look at it because I want to talk to you, not you. I mean, the listeners, talk about the rationale. But one of the things I found fascinating is that, you know, we have this portfolio that we manage for that we set up especially for the disciplined investor called the Managed Growth Strategy, where we're up since July 1st about 5%. And what's the one of the most attractive features, you're not going to believe this, one of the most attractive features is that we have a private blog, a password-protected blog, that we talk only to that particular strategy and to all of our clients in that strategy, and they love it. Absolutely love it, because how else and who else is providing you rationale, reasons, teaching about the investments they have and explaining why it is they have that, where the failures are, where the success. That doesn't happen in this industry, does it?
No, and that's why we're both successful at growing our little brands. You know, mm-hmm. The Disciplined Investor was a great book. You have a great website. You're showing exactly what's working and what's not working. All it takes is a little honesty. Like, we don't even have to be doing well right now. We could be down 30 or 40% along with everybody else, but as long as we admit it, we'd still be doing well. The fact that we're actually making money in this market just is, it's just a cakewalk.
So do you think that, is it kind of like the secret recipe? I mean, are they ever going to come clean, or is this just something that's not going to happen in this industry?
I can't imagine the majority of people coming clean, because the coming clean is an ugly truth where you have to work your butt off to do well. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're always going to try and sell these pipe dreams to people, and people are going to be gullible and they're going to believe it because they want to make money without doing the work. You know, you're preying on people's greed. You're preying on them saying, get out of debt now with just a few $100s. You know, these Forex companies, you can trade with $100 and leverage up 100 to 1.
Yeah.
And people love that. And I mean, I've seen some from some of the emails how financially illiterate the majority of people are with a small account. And I mean, it's scary that they're willing to bet thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars on individual ideas where, you know, they haven't done a huge amount of research. They're getting the tips from other people who claim to have done research, but they're really just in the marketing game. I mean, it's scary, but that's what finance is. And the quicker you realize it, the quicker you grow up, the better off you'll be eventually.
Yeah. So you laid all of your stuff out in your book, and that was kind of probably a bit of a cathartic experience, because, you know, you talk about how you did a little drinking or a lot of drinking, you blew up your fund, you did it well, and then you kind of take through the whole evolution of what happened. And then you had the idea to this. I thought this was so cool, by the way. You had the idea to come up with a training series, a DVD training series, right? And then you took it one step further, that have alerts, and you do what is the platform you use the alerts on? Do you do it your own platform or Twitter, or what do you do it with?
We've got a whole members only website, timalerts.com. We also just started text messaging people. We use MailChimp as emails, but sometimes that's delayed, so the text messages are instantaneous. We got a chat room. But it's really just taking it one step at a time. At first I thought I was going to make my money with a book. You know, the book did well, sold 6,000 copies, not huge, not bad. But then people wanted to know, they wanted, you know, the book, An American Hedge Fund, isn't very technical. So that's what got me doing the DVDs, which is much more technical, penny stocking. And then people wanted, okay, here, I can give you my trades after the fact, but I don't want to influence the price. They said, no, we want real-time trading. I said, fine, here's real-time trading. And so now you got Tim Alert. So I'm taking it based on what the demand is for these products, for people to learn how to do this. You know, ideally, in a few years, they won't even need me anymore, because playing penny stocks is not rocket science.
So the thing that, Tim, you know, so you have this website, you have the blog, you have your Tim Alerts, you have your Tim this, Tim that, Tim Claus, whatever it is, all these different things you have. When I always think...
It's not Tim Claus.
Oh, it's not Tim Claus?
It's Timica. I'm Jewish.
You're Jewish. Timica. So Timica, coming up for the holidays now, what I think is really...
And let me explain what Timica is. It's 29 days. It started on December 2nd, and we're going 29 days. We send out a trivia question every single day so people can win prizes and such.
So give me an example of what that question would be, and what would the prize be?
Yesterday's question was, what is Tim's greatest trade of 2000? Name the ticker. The old ticker and the new ticker, and you'd have to read my book to find that out.
Cool.
And we gave a free month of Tim Alerts to Ryan Harding.
Ryan, well, congratulations, Ryan.
So there you go, Ryan.
Yeah, your
big,
name, your
big man, big Ryan. Yeah. Good job.
So you, I've noticed when I read your blog posts sometimes, and when I say sometimes, I mean like wink, wink, sometimes like a lot.
Nice.
You beat people up. People ask you the same question over and over, it seems, and you have not that you don't have tolerance. I take that back. It's not that you don't have tolerance, but you'll say something like, what the hell is wrong with you people? I told you this 35 times. Why can't you remember this? What's that all about?
Yeah, I'm not. This is why I'll never be the patienttrader.com. You know, I don't have.
You'd be the mean, rude trader.com.
Yeah, I mean, well, some of these people need to be mean too. I mean, they need a good kick in the butt to understand this. I'm not going to be some polite BS snake oil salesman who say, the stock market is wonderful, you can make a lot of money. No, this is a battle. Like before we were talking, we were saying this is, you know, war, and we are at war. So if you're not prepared for war, if you're not prepared for a little verbal beating from, you know, somebody over the internet, you're not going to be prepared for the market beating you. You know, people would much rather me beat them up verbally on my website than, you know, the market taking a few $1,000s. That's a much worse beating. So I give this, I try and get people a little tougher, and you know, I have fun with it too. No one really takes it that seriously. Yeah. If you look at the disclaimer on all my emails, say like, look, everything Timothy Sykes says is just ridiculous. Don't believe me, because I'm not a licensed or registered investment advisor. You know, that's my kind of disclaimer, so that I can really just give my opinion. And this is all my opinion. Maybe it works for me. Maybe it won't work for you. I don't know. It's worked for me for 10 years. It's working for a few others. So I'm going to keep doing the way that I'm doing it.
So now just to kind of wrap up a couple things here. So you have this video out. I mean, this DVD out. And you have all these alerts. So everybody could go check that out at the site. And I recommend it very highly, by the way, if you've ever wanted to trade. A little bit different. Not your traditional trading. It's not, you know, your by the book of the old way. This is a niche. This is not for all your money. It's for a piece of it. You want to play it, and this is probably one of the better ways to play, only because you can keep it really contained, and you're moving in and out so fast of things. You're not really you don't have to have a lot at risk. But who is this not for? Who is this? You know, if somebody, oh, I'd like to do some penny stock or low cost stock trading, and you know, kind of do this. You do a lot of contrarian type of trading. Who is this not for?
This is not for rich people. It's a waste of their time. Like, yes, I'm up 200% in the last year, but we're talking about $27,000. $27,000 is a lot of money to people with a few thousand dollars to their name. But if you're worth $5 million, $10 million, $50 million, good luck to you. I don't know how to do it. You know, enjoy your money, but don't even think about trading penny stocks, because if you try and throw $500,000, $1 million, or $2 million at any of these stocks, it's going to be tough. So this is really ideally for, you know, a lot of college kids who have a lot of time. I have a lot of clients who are actually in the military, in the army, which is kind of scary that they're trading from Iraq and Afghanistan on unsecured internet connections, but it's working for them. I get a lot of compliments saying that I'm a great American for helping them make a few hundred dollars, a few thousand dollars. So you really just have to understand that this is a niche strategy. It's ideal for people with a few thousand dollars. You're using your small size to your advantage. And that's what I think it is. Maybe senior citizens, they don't have much to do. They love penny stocks, and they seem to fall for all these penny stock schemes. Maybe they can turn the tide and not fall for a scheme and actually profit from these schemes legally by betting against them. Mm.
By the way, I heard that is it true that the old Bob Hope tour of the military, the Army, is now going to be the Timothy Sykes tour? Does trading overseas? Is that happening or not?
We are setting up a college tour. It's been in the process. We've got about 40 colleges now that have requested me, because, I don't know, Wall Street Warriors is now airing. The TV show that I was in is now airing in 14 countries. Just starts in Australia tonight, actually, or actually tomorrow night. If you're in Australia, check it out on SBS, season one of Wall Street Warriors. So we'll plan something. But I love speaking to groups. If any of your listeners have any groups that want me to come and speak in person and be my come and invite me. You know, I love talking about this stuff. This is my life.
I think actually we did that thing for Zecco. We did the daring meets discipline, that was kind of cool, I thought, because it gave, you know, while your strategy and what you do is if you look at it from you know, stepping back, you know, a guy like me and what we do should be like, oh my God, that's terrible. You know, that's what you probably run into all the time, right? But you know, I'm not like that.
Well,
because
I get a lot of people. I get a lot of people who say, like, I should be hating what you're doing, but keep it up. You know, it's entertaining. It's fun. Because again, I'm not saying believe in these companies. I'm trying to warn people. I'm trying to make people more cynical. I'm trying to make them the cynical bastard that I am, which I think is good for them, not just in penny stocks, but in all forms of investments.
Right.
If they're less trusting, they do more due diligence, they're more disciplined, they're better off.
I could see us doing a little. I mean, you've invited me before to do some of these college things. So when it comes around this way, maybe in the South or whatever, we'll join up and do a little. We'll bang it out. How's that?
University of Florida is one of the colleges. So
we'll do it.
Think about that.
Yeah, that could be fun. That could be a lot of fun. All right, so let's wrap it up with this. First of all, I encourage everybody to check out. You know, you can buy the book. It's great. It's a great story. I encourage you to do that. But
especially on audiobook, an American hedge fund.
Ah, that's
iTunes.
Right.
Yeah,
iTunes and on Audible, as a matter of fact, who I believe is we could put that up in as one of the free books that you can get through the Audible campaign that we have running. So I'll do that. But the other thing is that the videos, I encourage people, really the DVD set, it comes in a binder. It comes with multiple DVDs. And it's Tim talking about, you know, how to actually do this. And you're still doing the Friday online TV program, right?
Yep. Every Friday, 1 to 2 p.m., mogulus.com/livestock, or just go to my website, timothysykes.com. Every Friday, we do a live show where there's a chat room. You can ask me questions. We have about 300 people every week. We're just talking about the stocks that are in play in penny stocks. I have chat moderation now. So I can kick people out. Somebody brought up Google. I kicked his butt out of there because I don't need to deal with real companies. There's enough people who write about that stuff.
Real companies. I like that. Real companies.
Yeah,
I don't deal with real companies.
That's why on my website it says speculative stocks only. Okay, these companies really are not real, and the quicker you understand that, the better.
So, you know, we talked about this before the show, and it's really great of you. In the spirit of the holidays, Timothy Sykes is going to be giving away an entire original DVD series, the Penny Stocking series, to one lucky listener of the Disciplined Investor podcast. Hey, that's awesome. How much does that retail for?
It retails for $297 plus shipping, so enjoy it.
Okay, so what we're going to do is this. So if you go over to the Disciplined Investor website, we're going to have an entry form, and we're going to pick from the time that this airs, which will be midnight on Sunday night, through the following, exactly when the next one goes up. So if you listen to this, go over to the site, just put your name and information there. We will pick a random listener, totally random, and we will give that copy to them. And I'll also, for the second random, I'll throw in a copy of my book, The Disciplined Investor. So I think that'd be good, don't you think, Tim?
I throw in my autographed copy of my book, in American.
Oh my God! It doesn't stop. It's just unbelievable. How about
It's happy.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic! What about like a shirt that you've worn during trading? Is that something that is in high demand?
Yeah, I'm not willing to give those away yet. You know, those are that's special. That's maybe right. a New Year's present for somebody.
I know. I understand. No, that makes a lot of sense because you know the thing also is that you know the amount of times that people have actually gone and started ripping your shirt off when you're in public. I mean, you got to conserve.
It's true. I'm running out. I'm glad you brought that up because I don't want people to do it anymore. It's kind of absurd, but right. Some people, they just love my threads and they want the Tim lock, and it's, you know, it's got to stop.
Yep. So what we're going to do is, again, go over to disciplinedinvestor.com and go to the show notes for this episode. And what you could do is just fill out the details, a couple of things. And so we have, you know, where to ship it to and all that. And we're going to pick out a couple of random listeners, and you're going to win. It's in the spirit of the holidays with Tim Sykes on Penny Stocking. And, of course, from yours truly here. And we're going to put a lot of other information up for you. So, again, thanks so much for joining me. You have a great holiday and a wonderful 2009. And thanks so much for your generosity and for coming on today. Well, that wraps it up for this episode of the Disciplined Investor Podcast number 86. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, Andrew Horowitz on Twitter, and of course, Facebook. And if you want to find out more about how we're managing money, stop on over to the site and check out the 14-minute virtual tour audio video. I think you'll enjoy it very much. And if you haven't done so already, here's an idea. Why don't you pick up a copy for someone who you love for the holidays, a copy of the book that hopefully has made some money for you. I know it's made money for a lot of people. They write me all the time and tell me. So with that in mind, we're going to end this episode. Wish you a great week. Next week, lots more coming. We have Peter Schiff coming on, who called a lot of this way back when. And we have Dorio Rubini promising to be on before the end of the year. And we'll have a few other people that hopefully give you some great ideas on investing coming up. See you real soon. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager. The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.